One of the foundational principles of faith walking comes from the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 8:1, when he reminds us that there is no judgment, no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. And I think it's a wonderful principle. I can testify of its power, of the power of this learning. I gain depth of it through faith walking. I can testify of it in my own life, my own process. And I can tell you about countless people who I have coached or I have talked with that will mention this principle among the top 10 things that were helpful for them in the process. And I think it's foundational because it has the potential to bring transformation, because it's truth. And it does that because it helps us to change the perspective that we have of God when the perspective of God that we have is not helpful. If we see a God that is counting of faults, ready to punish us, might not be very helpful for our spiritual journey. But when we are reminded that there is no condemnation, it's not about the condemnation. Suddenly space is created to consider a God that is different, a God that is for us and with us, a God that is about learning, transformation, and this is important. So I think that connects with Christmas too. In one way, we could see Christmas also as one of the ways in which God is changing the perspective that we have of Him. And He does it by changing and creating an alternative of that God of the Old Testament that is all-powerful and almighty and is truth and is still that God. But it's also a God who requires a sacrifice, is a God who has a heavy hand on His people. And suddenly He comes to this world in the presence of a baby. And it's a non-threatening incarnation. It's an incarnation not in power and strength and force and fear, but in the gentleness of a baby that we should all receive. Just for the nature of a baby. So in this context of no judgment, no condemnation, we also have to acknowledge that there is a contrast. As we keep reading and we read the Bible, and we find several passages that tells us about judgment, that tells us about a God who will come at an appointed time to bring judgment with equity, with justice. And the passage that I have in mind is Psalm 75. So here we are in this tension again, so characteristic of the spiritual journey, in which we talk about no judgment and judgment, and there is a contrast. And I say it's characteristic of the spiritual journey because we're often face with this, the fact that we are, is in our weakness when we are strong, or that it is when we humble ourselves when God exalts us, or it is in our defeat when we find the victory that we have been looking for. So that is the reality, or part of the reality of this spiritual journey. So this is the context of this Christmas meditation. And I like to put it this way, as I notice for this meditation, my soul reading a scripture and meditating, I notice clearly the call to this passage. And sometimes when I want to go deep into this, I have to be intentional. And I put it this way. I have to admit also that this passage of judgment was not the passage that I will have chosen to put a meditation on, but it is what it is. So I have to be intentional, and I do it in this way, or this is the analogy. I have to listen to myself, or I have to ask the question, or I have to listen to God three times if I really want to listen for the voice of God. And I say this because often the first voice that I hear is my own voice. When I'm listening, when I'm asking something to God, when I'm trying to explore what God is saying, the first time that I hear, the first voice that I hear is my own voice. It's the voice of my own fear, my preference, my judgment, my desire. And not often my judgments and my fears and my desires are completely aligned with the voice of God. So I have to be intentional and push through it and acknowledge and be grateful at some point. Thank you, fear, for speaking to me again. Thank you for reminding me of the things I'm afraid of. And thank you for speaking, but I'm going to push through and I want to listen to God because I'm looking for something that has more authority within me that fear has in me. So I keep listening, and often the second voice that I hear when I'm trying to listen for God's voice is the voice of others, is the voice of people around me, the voice of those who love me, the voice of my family, the voice of my family of origin, my culture, my church, my pastor, those figures of authority that I have. And all that is helpful, and sometimes God uses those voices, but not always. And I have to, once again, be intentional and push through and be thankful for the voices and keep listening, because I'm listening for a wisdom that is deeper than just the wisdom of the common sense and the people who are around me. And I keep listening. And the third time that I listen beyond myself, beyond others, sometimes I have a sense of them listening from God. And that is the exercise of this meditation. So as I am considering this paradox of judgment and not judgment, especially Psalm 75, the first thing that I hear is my own voice, my own fear, indeed. I realize that I don't like the word judgment, that I don't like the idea of judgment. And I don't like the idea of judgment because I'm afraid to be judged. And I'm afraid to be judged unjustly, but I'm also afraid to be judged justly, with equity, because I realize that there are things in me that are still a work in progress, that if a judgment with equity will come today, probably it won't work really well for me. It will not end really well for me. And I'm afraid to be exposed, to be vulnerable. Is that all resistance and a bit of shame so I'm afraid. That's my fear. And my fear also is connected with the experiences of being judged in the past, or experiences of judging and being wrong in my own judgment. So that is the first voice. I don't like this. It's a resistance to it. So I push through and I keep listening. The second round of listening, that fear changes, and what I sense, what I notice in my soul is a sense of relief. Sense of relief because I start acknowledging that or considering that actually I need judgment. I need fair judgment. I actually would like, and there's a desire for a judgment with equity in me. And this desire is reflected in my desire to see judgment with equity in the pain, in the brokenness, in the unfairness that I see in the world. I have to admit that I will not be able to have hope if I will not believe, if I will not count and rest in a way in the fact that I believe that there will be a time when judgment with equity will come and settle all those unfairness, all that brokenness. And that's my hope. That is the essence of my hope. I notice that without that judgment, I will be in despair, deep despair. And it reflects in the same way that this need reflects in my own self, in my own internal reality, where I'm aware of my own internal conflicts and uncertainties. And I need truth. I need judgment with equity to settle those internal fights. So there is a sense of relief, a sense of rest, and even hope in this second round of listening. And I keep listening. I keep going for a third time. And the third time, I come to this deep space in which convenience or that need of judgment becomes not only a need, but a desire. Not only a desire, but a longing. A deep longing. Oh my gosh, I realize that I want that equity, that I am made, I am designed by God for that, for justice. That's what my heart longs for. It's a justice that I want to see expressed in the world, I want to see within me. David talks in a Psalm 101 of this desire to walk in integrity within his own heart, in his own house. And this is a deep longing for justice, for a judgment with equity. And what I notice is that desire, that is my own desire, the work of God in me that produces this justice and that redemption, that wholeness, it is mirrored by God's own desire of producing that work within me. And so I find myself in this third time of listening in a place of deep intimacy with God, in which my longing and his longing are the same longing. Longing for justice, longing for a judgment with equity, for truth, for peace. And it's beautiful. In a way, I say it is like a setup. I believe that God placed and planted this longing in me just to find a way to satisfy that longing in me. So God and I have the same longing. And I think that is the echo of Christmas. That is the echo of this paradox, the breakthrough of this paradox and this resistance is in the acknowledgement that's my heart's desire. So, years ago, Julian of Norwich wrestled with questions like this, paradoxes like this, and I admire and I kind of study a bit those who have wrestle with these things, and somehow their own meditations have become a little bit of helpful guides in this journey. But so in the context of a sickness that almost killed her, Julian of Norwich wrestled with God and had these 16 visitations or showings in which Jesus showed her something, and that has become, again, a little bit of a guiding points for people in their spiritual journey. So in one of these visitations, she has this wrestling with sin, you know, and I would say in my own way, my understanding of his beautiful writings, is like this dialogue that she's having with Jesus, and she's talking about sin and says, well, Jesus, what about sin? You know, it would have been a lot better without it, right? Why did you allow it? Why sin have to happen? And she asked the questions that obviously she loves God. It's from a genuine question that this dialogue arises. And she has a clear sense of God's answer, of Jesus' answers. And he says, yes, everything is needed. And even sin has a purpose. But that's what she hears as an answer from Jesus. He says, but all shall be well. all shall be well. In all manner of things shall be well. And I think those are the words that somehow reflect this breakthrough in this paradox. And they echo not only the ultimate words in Christmas, in this first coming of Jesus, in this promise and this coming to make things well, and this voice in Christmas saying us all shall be well, because God is with us, because God has come, God is within, and Emmanuel is within. And it echoes not only Christmas, but it echoes the promise of a second coming, an appointed time when God will come to judge with equity, and all shall be well then, completely well. And it echoes this peace and this waiting that is the essence or part of the essence of Advent. And not only echoes this second coming, but I think it echoes this coming of now, this invitation, this longing, this intimacy, this community with God, communion with God in the longing of realizing that it is something that my heart desires. So I think that is the invitation and the call for transformation, for wholeness, for the work of God within me. So the work of God can also be expressed and reflected through me. So wherever you are, and whatever your meditation is, I pray that all shall be well for you. And I wish you a merry, merry Christmas. With you at last, for I know thy power will keep me till